Now, many of us are pretty skilled at hiding things about us, what's going on the inside. People ask us, how are you doing? And we say, fine, right? But sometimes things happen on the inside that we never deal with. Some of those things we learned in childhood. Some of those things are habits that we've picked up along the way. Some of those things are defense mechanisms because we have been hurt. But someone said this. They said, show me an angry person, and I'll show you a hurt person. Right? And someone else said, some of the most painful scars, the ones that hurt the most, are the scars that can't be seen. There are things inside of us, hurts and scars, sometimes that are dwelling under the surface that can cause us to lash out or to retreat, both of which can cause dysfunction in our lives. So we're going to tackle some of these big things, these big hurts, these big scars over the next couple of months. These things are things that we're good at hiding from other people. But if we don't begin to address these problems, they'll never change. Some of these things on the inside have developed because of trauma or circumstances. But other times we kind of just fall into a pattern. And that pattern makes a habit. And that habit is real hard to break. And there's some dangerous things out there that can really threaten our spiritual, emotional, and mental health. These problems close us off and they distract us from how blessed we are and how good our God is. Anger, anxiety, greed, comfort, jealousy, guilt, addiction, fear, grief, and depression. These are the things we're going to talk about over the next few months. But today's problem is anger. Everybody yell out a real angry yell. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Ah! All right, now think about WVU losing yesterday. And think about how angry it makes you, right? Let's try it again. 3, 2, 1. Ah! Anger feels good sometimes, right? It feels good to let that out. But the problem is that anger is like fire. And if you're not careful, it can consume you. Now, there are real reasons to be angry, injustice and wickedness and evil. These things should make us mad. But sometimes we might believe we're being angry for righteous reasons, but if we're honest, we're mostly angry when we don't get what we want or we feel or we deserve. Problems at work or problems with our friends, problems with our kids or our spouse. Most of the time, in these situations, we can draw a direct line from our anger to not getting what we want. Now, am I saying that many times when we get angry, we're just being big babies? No, I'm not saying that, but it's definitely true, and yes, I'm saying that. When we get red in our face, when we blow our top, what we're doing is we're trying to let people know that they didn't give me what I wanted. Whether it's respect or attention or consideration, whatever it may be, we get angry because we believe people owe us things. Andy Stanley says this. We've said this first part already. But it says, show me an angry person, and I'll show you a hurt person. And I guarantee that person is hurt because something has been taken from them. Somebody owes them something. If nothing else, an apology. We all know folks whose anger can be verbalized in one of the following ways. You took my reputation. You stole my family. You took the best years of my life. You stole my first marriage. You robbed me of my childhood. You owe me a raise. You owe me an opportunity to try. You owe me a second chance. You owe me affection. And many times, the root of anger is the perception that something has been taken. Something is owed you. And now, a debt to debtor relationship has been established. You owe me. And there's this bill, right, that needs to be paid. I couldn't find a CVS receipt, so it's only this small. But there's a bill that needs to be paid, and we hold on to that. And when we think about it, we get angry. And it's easy to believe that the only remedy is payback. After all, isn't that how you settle a debt? What other option is there? People ought to pay what they owe. To cancel a debt is to let a guilty person off the hook, right? They need to pay to learn a lesson. But the irony in most cases is that perceived debt that we hold on to can never be paid. How do you pay back your 25-year-old son for not being there for him when he was 12? You can't do that. It can't be done. There is no amount that you could pay to go back and settle that debt. But it's tragic that people spend their lives waiting for debts to be paid that can never be paid. The opportunity to fix things is gone, but the anger is still there. And in many cases, it intensifies and solidifies. But anger never stays isolated. It always spreads to our other relationships. And that's what makes it so dangerous. It spreads. And that's why we take our anger out against our mom on our daughter. And the sad thing is that unless something changes, she'll do the same thing to her son. Before long, as anger grows, it goes from somebody owes me to everybody owes me. And nobody gets me. Nobody understands how important I am. And we've met angry people, right? They're driving all up and down, you know, Pike Street. They're in front of us in the line at Walmart. We've met angry people. There might be someone in the room right now. These are people who seem... Joe, who are you thinking about? Is it Garland right in front of you? Yeah? But these people, these angry people, nothing pleases them. Even if they do get their way, it's with a frown on their face. And extremely angry people decide you won't get it right before you even try. Anger on the inside is a disease. And you can't be an angry person and a healthy person. And I'm not sure if you're an angry person, all you have to do is ask somebody, right? Ask your wife, ask your kids or your coworkers. And if they pause before they answer and think about it a long time, or if they're afraid to answer the question and say, I don't want to talk about this, or if you can tell they're being very cautious, or you're compelled to interrupt them, then you have your answer. And I know some people in the room genuinely have real and legitimate reasons that you're angry. Some terrible and unfair things have been done to the people in this room. But here's the question that you have to ask yourself. How long am I going to let the people who hurt me control my life? How long am I going to let the people that hurt me control my life? Because you can't undo what's been done. But you can decide not to let your past ruin your present and your future. The danger is you're letting that hurt you even more, and you're making it even bigger. You're giving even more influence to the person that hurt you. And this causes isolation, and anger alienates us from the people that are closest to us. And you might think that anger gives you power like the Incredible Hulk, but if you look behind you, you're going to find destruction and devastation that it's caused. Well, what does God have to say about anger? He actually talks about it a lot. James 1, 19 and 20 says, know this, my beloved brothers. James speaking here. He says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Proverbs 29, 11 says, a fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Ecclesiastes 7, 9 says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry. Check this out. It says, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. What does that say? It says, anger gets stuck. Proverbs 22, 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, nor go with a wrathful man. Psalms 37, 8 tells us to refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Anger tends to evil. Proverbs 14, 29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. What does that mean? It means your anger hurts you. Anger hurts those around you. Anger keeps you from being the person God made you to be. And the Bible says this, not me. Don't take it out of me. The Bible says it's foolish. And it can cause you to do some evil things. You know, the answer to extinguishing your anger is not complicated, but it can be very hard. And the answer is forgiveness. And look, I know you've tried that, and maybe you don't have the courage to try again, or maybe you just believe the other person doesn't deserve it, but no one deserves forgiveness. That's why it's called forgiveness. But the problem is that we get comfortable in our anger. And it feels like home. And it feels like our personality. It feels like who we are. Because we don't believe it's really hurting us. Ephesians 4:31, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Now, the idea of this is not putting away anger like you put away your dishes. No, it's like a spider's crawling on the back of your neck, and you have to get rid of it and smash it. Get away from it. Why? Because it's poison. I preach sermons like this before, and normally someone comes up after and tries to tell me why they can't be expected to forgive because their situation is different, right? But deep down, really what it is that they don't believe that forgiveness is what's best for them. And look, you can come and tell me, and I'm going to just be heartbroken for you, but the truth is that anger hurts you, and forgiveness is good for you. Now, maybe those people that have that those excuses, they like to live in the reason they're angry because it lets them off the hook some. And some even play the victim because you don't understand my life and you don't get it. And if you did, you would understand why my excuses for my bad behavior are okay. Ephesians 4:31 told us, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice." And Paul wrote these words in a prison cell. He was jailed for preaching the gospel of Christ. And if anyone had an excuse to be mad, it was him. He was just doing what God had told him to do. And he's in prison for it. But still, he says, in prison, run from bitterness. Run from anger. Get rid of it. And then in the next verse you've heard before, in verse 32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." See, until we root out these problems on the inside, we can't be the people God wanted us to be. We have to replace anger with kindness and bitterness with forgiveness. Now, here in this point of the sermon, you're probably thinking, if I forgive this person, that means I'm saying it's okay what they did to me. And that is absolutely not true. Forgiveness is not saying you're glad something happened. Forgiveness is not saying that something better can come out of what happened. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay what they did. Forgiveness is simply letting go. In his book, Enemies of the Heart, Andy Stanley gives 4 steps to slaying anger. The first one is this. You have to identify who you're really angry with. Not just the last person you blew up on, but the person you're really mad at. It could be someone far in your past. But who do you hope never to see again? Who do you have imaginary conversations with? Who do you secretly desire to see them fail? Those are the people we have to identify. I've got anger in my heart towards somebody that needs to be dealt with. First, we identify who we're really angry with. Second, we determine what they owe us. You know what they did, but what did they actually take? General forgiveness doesn't heal specific hurt. We've got to be specific about it. What do you think they owe you? Money? An apology? Time? A marriage? A family? A job? A reputation? You've got to identify the debt. But here's the hard part. First, we determine who we're actually mad at. Secondly, we determine what they took from us. But thirdly, we've got to cancel the debt. Just like Christ canceled the debt of our sin on the cross, we cancel the debt. You're not saying what they did was okay. You're not saying that you're glad it happened or that you think something good ultimately or something better ultimately came from it. No, terrible things can be terrible. Period. Abuse and neglect and all these things, it can just be bad. And you can just be angry at it. You're not having to say that it's okay. But what you do have to say is, I don't need payback. That's called forgiveness. Maybe you need to have a face-to-face conversation with this person. Maybe that person's long gone. But you need to say, I'm not holding you accountable for this anymore. I'm canceling the debt that I feel like you owe me. That's in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that we are indebted to. Identify who you're actually mad at. Determine what they owe you. Cancel the debt. And then this next one's really important too. You've got to dismiss the case. This is an everyday thing, an everyday reminder that the case is closed, the debt is canceled, you aren't going to appeal it, you aren't going to open it back up, the file is shredded. Because it's going to come back up. Forgiveness is not a momentary thing. It's an everyday choice until you can actually accept it. And when those memories come back, you have to say, I canceled that debt. They don't owe me anymore. We must remember that there is no real hope for payback anyway. No apology or money or deed was ever going to give you back what you felt like you lost. You've got to release the debt. Wipe the account clean. Why? Because your anger hurts you. It's a serious problem. There's people you and I have been mad at that the other people had no idea. They were oblivious, and it was eating us up and ruining our day, and they're out there whistling Dixie, eating cherries and pie, and doing whatever they wanted to do, having no idea that you're mad at them. Because your anger hurts you. It's a serious problem. Anger is a spider on your neck, a scorpion in your shoe, a snake in your bathtub. You have to get rid of it. There's a town in Pennsylvania called Centralia, and it once had over 1,000 people in it, but the last census says there's only 5 people left. In 1962, what happened was an underground coal mine caused a fire in the town. Here's a picture of it, and it's constantly burning underneath the ground, making the town dangerous and uninhabitable. And for some of us, that's what our life is like. It, on the inside, it's a constant flame of anger, a wildfire of fury. Whether it's wrongly felt anger, and you know that it's not justified, but it's still there, or it's rightly felt anger that you have wrongly expressed, how often is that, right? Yes, we're right, but we've done it in the wrong way. Or if it's rightly felt anger that you have never expressed. Regardless, your anger hurts you. Louis Giglio says we have to remind ourselves what God did for us is greater than what anyone can do against us. You and I aren't perfect. I have hurt others, you have hurt others, and God still made peace with us when we didn't deserve to be forgiven. And ultimately, when people have done us wrong, we remember that we have sinned against God far more than that person has ever sinned against us. And by the way, God says vengeance is his. Any sin that's not covered by his blood will be made just by his wrath. And no sin is undealt with. No evil is undealt with. It is either covered by the blood of Jesus Christ or paid for in the next. But every person on this earth was created by God. And God loves them. Even the people that have hurt us. And we must forgive like Christ has forgiven us. You can't undo what's already been done, but you can decide not to let your past ruin your present and your future. Because anger never stays isolated. It always spreads to other relationships. So how long are you going to let the people that hurt you control your life? With God's power, you can slay that giant of anger. Identify who you're really angry with. Determine what they owe you. Cancel the debt and continually dismiss the case. Because your anger inside you hurts you, and it needs to be taken out. You need to get rid of it. And maybe today, in a talk like this, this may have brought up some things inside of you that you didn't really want to deal with today. Memories, pain, people, moments for you that you've buried deep. But the truth is you can't heal what you refuse to reveal. And you can't live the life that God designed for you if you're slowly being destroyed from the inside out. This series is not about behavior modification. It's not about cleaning ourselves up so that people think we're doing okay. It's a transformation that starts on the inside, where we open up the dark parts of us and allow the light of God to shine in and begin to heal and to begin to sanitize and to begin to clean up those dirty parts where those real problems live. Because Jesus did not come to make you look better. He came to make you new from the inside out. So as we begin this journey, let's not settle for surface-level change. Let's let God deal with the deep stuff, the pain, the anger, the fear, the guilt. Let's be people who say, I want to live from the inside out, healed, whole, and free. And we do that by being honest and laying down our anger and choosing forgiveness. And by inviting the Holy Spirit to do only what He can do, to change us from the inside out.